Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at J.B. Weld. J.B. Weld. This guy's been around for over 50 years, and we love this product. It's available at jbweld.com and retailers everywhere, including Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Napa, Amazon, Michaels, and more. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. All right, in this episode, we will do the news in the first half, and we will also take a deep dive into Lin-Manuel. Well, the Heights. He got into trouble for the Heights. Gina loves the Heights. And we'll talk about that. Also, a crazy commencement address from a high school that you need to hear. It'll blow your goddamn mind. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure you do. And then there's your automotive policy. Geico would like to remind you to get your bundle going at geico.com. You take your homeowners or your renter's insurance and you bundle it up with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how easy you could bundle when you go to geico.com.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, actor and MMA legend, George St. Pierre. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, the no-ho, no-homo, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Saw the ratings just went up, so thank you for that. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball run.
The most beautiful girl in the world.
So, Gina, just for the mics heated up, you were talking about what?
In the Heights. Watched it in its entirety last night. Cried several times. And I was telling Brian, I don't cry at, like, sad stuff.
In the theater?
In my bedroom theater.
Oh, okay.
Because we have, we have that big projector.
Sure, it's on HBO Max.
Yeah. And I get overwhelmed, like, emotionally with, like, a big dance number or, like, a big happy moment. And I was choked up several times.
Same for me.
Sure. And it's like West Side Story if there was no gunplay in West Side. It's just big and celebratory and beautiful and colorful and lovely.
Well, this on Bollywood. Moving on.
This leads us nicely into one of the first subjects I want to get into, because I don't know if you are aware of it from watching it from your Anglo POV, it is problematic.
It is?
I've heard.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we are out of problems.
We are so far out of problems, we're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Oh, it seemed like every person on the screen was very authentic.
Oh, Brian.
Yeah, but Brian.
Oh, white Brian.
You don't get it. We gotta keep going because there's different shades.
Gina described it as colorful. Oh.
Yes.
It's not colorful. Not colorful.
Are some Puerto Ricans playing Dominicans or something?
It's a colorism issue.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Lin-Manuel had to issue a statement because it's problematic.
Of course.
Everything's problematic.
Lin-Manuel Miranda apologizes for lack of diversity.
He's the champion of diversity.
In the Heights.
Alexander Hamilton was Latino?
He's a paradigm of diversity.
This is the beauty. I always say it's called the progressive movement. It progresses and it moves. It does not ever stop. It never takes its foot off the accelerator.
Never gives itself an attaboy.
Never pumps the brakes. Never goes, Lin-Manuel, he is on the Mount Rushmore of our cause.
Yes.
Nobody has come from less and done more for people of color.
Or diversity.
Been more inclusive.
Yes.
Yeah, has populated his work with more colors.
How about just paid into the tax base?
Or that.
You know what I mean? How many people you've gotten paid of color?
Yeah.
How many jobs?
Oh.
When this guy was sitting alone in Crown Heights when he was 17 with a steno pad, how many jobs came out of that steno pad?
We're probably saying the same thing, which is think about, Gina, you've seen In the Heights, you've seen Hamilton.
Yep.
Think of all those faces, all those people. How many of those people, actors, dancers, whatever, may have been marginalized over their career and not given a chance? There are no roles for them.
I promise you, those same actors were only considered for Lion King.
Yes.
I'm serious. Only considered for stuff like that. And you
extras
guys.
Extras in Book of Mormon.
Yes. And you, exactly. And you guys don't know this. There are so many Hamilton national tours. He is employing tons of actors that would have never had the chance to do these roles.
I have a very simple equation that everyone needs to now use. You're either on the good side of the equation or the bad side of the equation. You know
I'd
what
say
I mean?
Lynn's on the
I'd say Lynn's on the good side.
You're either creating jobs, paying taxes, taking care of folks, creating things. And by the way, it's obviously the actors are getting paid, but the grips, the lighting guys, the sound guys.
What goes into this movie set?
Catering.
Yes.
I mean, it just, the chain just keeps going and going. The costumers and everything else.
He's a singing, dancing Tyler Perry.
Right. So you're creating wealth.
Yes.
You're not part of the problem.
No.
We have this bizarre world where the guys that are the, perpetual drug dealers and the street thugs and stuff like that have been in and out of prison 19 times, and now they're in prison, and somehow we're very worried about them. We got to help them, and they're definitely never the problem. But somehow Lin-Manuel has become part of the problem.
I'm dying to know. I can't fathom what the controversy could be.
Oh, Brian.
This is the beauty of the era we're living in. You can't even fucking think about.
No.
You can't imagine in your wildest.
No.
I heard someone talking about The Onion and the Babylon Bee. They're out of headlines.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They can't,
you can't tell the difference.
They can't do fake headlines anymore. There's no parody. You can't parody this anymore. So Lin-Manuel did what?
Okay.
He has apologized for failing to adequately represent Afro-Latinos in his latest musical project, In the Heights, that is centered on New York's Latino communities. The Hamilton star posted a note to social media on Monday, acknowledging that casting for his latest project, set in the diverse neighborhood of Washington Heights in Upper Manhattan, has lapsed into colorism, broadly defined as prejudice or discrimination against darker skin tones within the same racial group. In trying to paint a mosaic
of
this
community. Now we're gonna parse it out to you're in the same group, but you spent more time in the sun.
That's pretty rough.
That's
specious at best.
Well, and also, I know this is not what they're talking about, but there is a African-American main character who's amazing. The guy who played Dr. Dre.
The singer,
Was he Afro-Latinx?
No.
Seemed pretty black to me.
Okay.
Just straight up African American.
But that's just one.
Okay.
Miranda, who produced and stars in the film, which is based on a smash Broadway hit, posted the apology after the film's director, John Chu, and cast members Melissa Barrera and Leslie Grace were interviewed about casting choices in the film. Grace told The Root that until she made the film, she hadn't recognized that she didn't really get to see myself or people that look like my siblings that are darker than me on screen. Chu added, "We're not going to get everything right in a movie. We tried our best on all fronts." In his apology, Miranda said, "It is clear that many in our dark-skinned Afro-Latino community don't feel sufficiently represented within it, particularly among leading roles." Miranda continued, I can hear the hurt and frustration over colorism, of feeling unseen in the feedback. I hear that without sufficient dark-skinned Afro-Latino representation, the work feels extractive of the community we wanted so much to represent with pride and joy.
Oh, man, that's flimsy. That's pretty flimsy.
And it's like, give him a second. He just did and by the way, Chu, an Asian director that did Crazy Rich Asians. I mean, talk about inclusivity and making sure everyone's involved. He does this hit musical. It's all about this little enclave in New York that celebrates everything Latino, all the Caribbean island nations, and speaking Spanish and singing about your culture. Give him a minute. Like, maybe the next movie he'll keep continuing to please you. But the guy is doing his best. Like, you're free to make a movie. if you don't think he's doing that.
We don't have a minute, though, Gina. I don't think you're understanding the troubling times we're living in.
But this is also problematic because didn't Lin-Manuel Miranda sort of not apologize the last time people had beef with him for Hamilton when they said, you know, you didn't really play up the slave owning aspect of these characters like you should have? And I'm paraphrasing, but I think his answer was like, I tried my best. You're welcome to take a shot at it if you think you can do better.
Well, he's now decided to go a different direction, which is he's apologizing.
Oh, yeah.
At the end,
now
he's
pulled into a studio.
He does the scary Orwellian thing at the end because this is the scariest part about all these apologies is when they're going to try to do better and learn, mm-hmm. and that's where the reprogramming part comes in. Sorry, you got the end there, Dawson?
I'm trying to hold space for both the incredible pride in the movie we made and be accountable for our shortcomings, Miranda added. I promise to do better in my future projects.
Or you go to the cornfield. No, yes, the corn tortilla field.
And I'm dedicated to the learning and evolving we all have to do to make sure we are honoring our diverse and vibrant community.
When he goes home, do you think he just screams about how ungrateful his audience is?
Well, there's a couple of things. It's probably not his audience. It's probably just one jackass from whatever rag. But Mike August always says two things. Well, one is you can't apologize. Everyone has to stop apologizing. Just fucking man up. It doesn't save you. It doesn't help you. I always argue that it's a kind of admittance of guilt.
Mm. Yeah, there's no apology warranted here.
They just go, I don't know what movie you saw.
Right.
I made the movie that was based on my life and my experiences and my community, and that's all I got.
Yeah.
So if doing that is a problem, I think it's your problem.
Right. And it's funny because when I heard there was a problem with this movie, the first thing I thought of, now, Brian, I'm sure you were only too happy about this.
Let's hear it.
But are the two leads not the tallest, thinnest, baby giraffe-legged, most gorgeous women you've ever seen?
Oh, the two female
leads?
Oh, they're beautiful.
I was like, do her legs need to be that long? Does she need to be that willowy and thin? That's what I thought this was going to be about, but no.
The other thing that Mike always screams about, because Mike sends me this shit, screaming, what the fuck? Why do you apologize? Stop apologizing. He always says you can never accrue enough points in the woke bank. It does not matter what you've done in the past, how much you've given,
Hamilton.
How much you've helped.
For God's sake.
Right. Does not matter. Every day is a new day with a fresh sheet of woke paper, and you must apologize.
Wow.
Yeah, so that
woke
was...
paper.
That's unfortunate.
That was... but it was funny that you came in with a big head of steam.
Oh.
On the Heights.
And that makes me really sad. And of course, I have no place to comment on this because it's not part of my community and what do I know? But this, like having been in the theater or a theater appreciator my entire life and only seeing ethnic characters done in a way that's pretty caricature. You're doing The King and I or you're doing West Side Story and you have to, you know, these are caricatures in many ways. And having like this young, energetic guy come out and not only do Hamilton in a way that like everybody clutched their pearls when this was in previews. This was not normal to see people of different color playing these roles. People were aghast. And now having the juice.
Relatives of ours that have a problem with it.
Yes. And now having the juice of Hollywood behind you to say, we're going to do a musical that celebrates a four-block neighborhood in Upper Manhattan that even people who live in Manhattan have never been to and never heard of, and celebrate the shit out of this community, and you're going to shit on this guy for it?
Well, it also stifles creativity. You don't
Why
want
bother?
Him. And also, you don't want him. You don't want someone who has a creative vision to stop constantly and go, how's this going to come across?
Have
we met our quotas?
What blowback
or
am I to get from this?
Maybe there's this actor or actress who I think would be dead nuts perfect for this role, but I'll compromise a little because we're looking for a different we want to get a different ethnicity in there to try to save some of the blowback. Now we're compromising the product at this point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in the in woke news, there's this graduation speech at Justice High School, which was I've kind of talked about.
Please tell me they're the Warriors.
This, well, they were called something else, but they turned it into Justice. But this sort of, and I see, I have a deep connection with this because I grew up in the 70s version of the bummed out hippie. They used to call them hippies back then. Now they're like wokesters, but back then there's hippies. And my mom was one of these people. And it was just nonstop talk about the earth and the environment, and we're going to be out of fuel, and Nixon's corrupt, and
white sugar, white bread.
Yeah, and you have no idea what the CIA is doing in Nicaragua, and you don't know how bad we are and what we're doing around the world, and a little sprinkle in a little roots and some slavery, and you have a beautiful, miserable salad. That's what you end up like just walking around going, oh God, it's horrible. The environment's horrible. We're horrible. Mm-hmm. White people are horrible. There's no future. Mm-hmm. And we just, it takes a psychological toll on young people. Like young people need to fucking just be young. They need to feel like there is a future. The notion of, you know, when AOC's like, it's all going to be over in 12 years. Well, that's fucking, what if you're 14?
Right. Then why bother?
Why bother? Why are we getting a diploma? Yeah. I get my fucking learner's permit. It's all going to be done. And it never ends. But I think we may have found, I think the best and the brightest of the woke bummer speech. This was a graduation speech by Abrar Omish. I guess I'm screwing that up, but either way. And this is from, high school. She's not a high schooler. She's not graduating. She's just speaking to the graduating class.
Okay.
Commencement speaking.
Yeah, commencement speaking. And by the way, you got to know you should probably take a dive into someone's Twitter feed just before you book them for this.
Oh,
you know
no.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I like to lean a little toward the motivational side of these things because you got all the 18-year-olds going out into the world. But this thing went on for 25 minutes, but I told Max Pat, just whack up a minute of it.
What state is this from?
Virginia?
Okay. Virginia. This is Justice Virginia. High School in Virginia.
Okay. And the humility to understand that luck, luck of the draw in our world has empowered you. Can you internalize a level of gratitude and humility that allows you to maintain focus in living up to your purpose? Our world is overwhelmed with need. We struggle with human greed, racism, extreme versions of individualism and capitalism, white supremacy, growing wealth gaps, disease, climate crisis, extreme poverty amid luxury and waste right next door.
Well, hold on. I was going to go to Farrell's and celebrate after this, but I'm just going to fucking go to a landfill and put a bullet in my head.
Yeah. Take a warm bath with a razor.
All right, we'll keep playing. There's a few more seconds.
You all know this. Nuestro mundo no es justo. ¿Cuál será su legado?
Hey, she did a lot of it in other languages, too.
That's impressive.
Yeah, so she would go in, she would say her point and then do it in other languages right after. Yeah, that was about minute 20.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
And then there's this other one that
lecturing
Chris,
them the whole
Chris
time.
Found.
There's this weird part. I mean, if you're talking about depressing, here's her making the entire class stand up and participate in an experiment.
Uh-oh. Now, class, I would like to paint a picture for you for the class of 2021.
School's over.
You, the justice class of 2021.
By the way, if Ray was in this class, you would have thrown a fucking folding chair at this bitch by now.
First, let us acknowledge the stolen land of the Manahoic people, on which we have learned, lived, and on which we celebrate today here in Fairfax. This theft is a reminder to us of what happens when we delay justice, when we don't speak up, when we don't stand up in time. Now, graduates, I'm going to do something a little unconventional. Hang in there with me. It's your special
this
day.
This is an unconventional. It's our special day.
Graduates, special. Please stand up.
She had everyone stand up.
So there are 505 of you here today. Let's imagine, and it is in fact the case, that you represent our world in numbers. But let's consider all of what I'm about to do estimations, okay? I don't need any math folks checking me on my numbers.
Okay. Off the stage, fag!
If you represented our world, about 3% of you would have died at birth, and just under 2% would have died from disease. First row of students, please be seated. The rest of you have survived infancy.
Oh. Wow.
Of those remaining, 4.5% would have passed before the age of 5, from lack of clean water, from disease, or inadequate health care. Of those who survive, at least another row will be lost by the age of 14.
It's got to be, first off, you know there's some 72-year-old administrator in the back, white guy, dad died in Vietnam, and she's like, everyone stand up, everyone up. He's like, finally, the fucking hokey pokey.
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, Pledge of Allegiance. Anything to get out under the fucking verbal rule of the shrew.
I could be projecting, but I'm pretty sure the second woman, the one in the middle, has a raised eyebrow at all of this.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Sorry. You can
watch a little bit more. You call your own.
Oh, please. No. Okay. Keep
this
going.
This is awesome.
For health complications, avoidable injury, or war, man-made reasons. May the second two rows please sit down. The rest of you survived to the age of 14. For those surviving...
Wait a minute, I'm 18 now. I've been dead for 4 years?
...have unsafe drinking water.
Oh, no.
Would the next row please be seated? And the next row. And the next. About 22% of you would not have access to electricity, and only 30% actively use the internet. This eliminates a whopping 13 rows. So I'm going to just number them, and you sit in that order, okay? One, two,
oh my God.
Three.
Please count to 13.
Four, five.
How
six,
does one.
Seven.
How is one imbued
eight,
with this much confidence?
Nine,
I don't know.
Ten.
I'm jealous.
11, I'm jealous
we're still counting.
12, 13. Oh. That leaves only five rows. If you're not in the last five rows, please be seated. And finally, about 17% of our world cannot read. And only about 65% will have the opportunity to have a secondary school education.
All right. This chick is the biggest fucking bummer. And also, there needs to... If I ran a school, I'd be like, look, I got a friend... He's on the SWAT team. He has an extra beanbag cannon. If I hear you fucking waxing on about the virtues of Al-Qaeda or how scary the white man is or whatever, this thing is fucking locked and loaded.
Right.
I'm going to hit you with a flashlight. You fucking shift on over to the importance of establishing a good credit score.
Right.
If you can't fucking transition out of evil blue-eyed devil into that, I will fucking nail you in the forehead with this fucking beanbag. Or where's the Sandman from the Apollo?
Oh, yeah, sweep you off.
Sweep your bitch ass off this stage.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like little Greta Thunberg, you know, she can be a bummer or serious. But the difference is... And she's young, whatever. The difference is this woman is very self-congratulatory. She's very pleased with her speech.
She's never part of the problem, which I always like. But you do also have to know that there was some sort of committee. There was a committee, and there had to be some sort of vetting process or somebody.
Right.
And that group of faculty has to be in the back somewhere, right? Stuffed into a suit or sundress. Oh. Not right. And you know at that fucking meeting when they went, let's get Ilhan Omar Jr. to come in here and bum the fuck out of everyone for 25 minutes. You know there was one dude who raised his hand and went, you know, there's disabled veterans who have a very positive message.
We're in Virginia. So like went, military
no, this is going to be good. This is going to be good.
I don't know.
And somewhere,
BMI.
Minute 18 of this dirge, you know that fucking guy looked at these people and went,
yeah.
Didn't listen to me, could have had the guy in the fucking, with the prosthetics talking about how he
was,
we do
you.
It all again just to serve
anything.
This country.
Put your mind to.
That's right. That's right. Could have had him.
Wow.
Now we want this rap.
And that's, I can't shine a light on this enough. It wasn't just a bum out. She was lecturing them as though like
they
had
admonishing them.
Yes, like they had committed atrocities.
Who is less responsible for what has happened on the earth than people that
who
haven't
got
left
here.
High school yet?
Yeah.
Yes.
God, that was weird.
Oh, I told Chris just for fun. Go back to 1990 and show us what a speech used to look like, just so we could cleanse our palate.
The dictionary says success.
That's right.
Although success is not easy to achieve,
yes,
every one of us has the ability to succeed, whether it is in business, such as becoming a powerful corporate executive, or in domestic affairs, such as getting married and raising a happy, healthy family.
Oh, dear God,
no. Being successful takes a large amount of knowledge in specific areas. Knowledge can only come from learning. We have all learned the basics here at LT, a basis on which our college education will be founded if we choose that path. But learning doesn't stop after high school. Knowledge comes with age and experience. The more knowledge that you have, the wiser you are, the better your decisions will be,
all
and the
right.
more successful.
Wasn't that long ago where this was standard fare for these events?
Off the stage, fag! Well, some things haven't changed.
They're boring, but Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh,
and that was scarring, that first one.
What the fuck? And also, it is, they're the graduating class. It's their day.
Yeah.
It's about them.
Yeah.
Could you make it about them? Or how about some little tidbits of advice that they could definitely use along the way about, you know, you're going to walk onto that college campus and they're going to offer you a credit card and mm-hmm. you're going to be paying 22%
for
on it.
Slinky.
Don't do it. Yeah, you'll be paying
yep.
off those loans for the
yes,
next 100
sir.
Years. Like a little something.
And you know what? I'll meet her halfway. I'll compromise. If she wants to leave in the part and talk about, you know, the luck and the chance and the privilege of you being born in this country at this time on this land, and aren't you lucky, don't squander it. I'll listen to that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
just
go on to do great things with it.
To lecture them for another 20 minutes, that was tough.
Well, important breaking news. We have a picture of the NASA base.
Oh.
The pedestal that was over-engineered for the... For the thing that yeah. the thing that they were supposed to put on it, they had some sort of arm on it, and the base was way overbuilt.
Yeah,
so
that's somebody a lot of base.
Somebody dug this picture up.
Yeah.
All right,
good.
Listen. Whether you work here or you work for NASA, about the second time I go, why did they do that? That doesn't make sense to me.
Feel free to look into
that's
it.
That's your window to
yeah.
stop.
Wow.
All right. Let's see. I had a very strong, interesting interview with George St. Pierre. Is just a crazy UFC, one of the legends of the UFC. So that'll come at the end of the show. We have the news to get into a
is
little
he affable
earlier.
Or scary? I always want to know with UFC guys.
He was one of the friendliest, most affable guys you've ever want to meet. I've always found amongst the calmest and the easiest of people to deal with are guys that are fighters or race car drivers or something like that. They have a great sense of humor. They're very calm. They get it all out in the octagon
right.
or on the track or whatever it is. There's a couple of guys that have a persona,
hothead.
By and large, the guys with the attitudes are actors who play tough guys.
Right.
But not actual tough guys.
Well, like Chuck Liddell was like the nicest guy ever when he came in.
What do they have to prove? Right, they have nothing to prove.
Along those lines, is there a bigger chasm between professional MMA fighter and like guy who just loves MMA or like amateur,
right.
you know what I mean? Guy
wears
who fucks
the
around
the
ring.
Shirt.
Yeah, because those guys are guy you can't hang with. That's
yes.
the guy you can hang
yeah.
with. Versus like the very pleasant MMA guys who come here all the time.
Yeah, the more you train, the more secure you are, the better. It's I don't know. It's a universal truth. When you're really secure with what you do, there's nothing you have to put together. I mean, I found him to be beyond affable.
Super nice. He actually came in and he's like, oh, I just got my second shot. Everyone's telling me that I'm not going to feel very good. I'm really worried about it. I looked at him like, I think you'll be okay, man. I think you can handle it.
You'll weather the
3%
storm.
Body fat. Right. You'll make it. All right. Caldera. That's what I wanted to tell you about. Caldera Labs. Dry skin, acne scars, wrinkles, or just want a little healthier skin. This is the product I use. The Good by Caldera Lab. Non-toxic, natural serum made from 100% from plants. Named by GQ. As the best natural face serum for men, for all the guys with all the skin types. Great with a beard or a bald head like Brian over here. Works on the dry scalp, keeps it shiny and moisturized. Caldera believes you shouldn't have to decide between clean, sustainable ingredients and real results. Simply apply to a dry cloth, or I should say simply apply to a dry, clean skin, and it feels good, it smells good, it is good. Try it 100% risk-free. If you don't love it, they'll refund your money in full, right, Dawson?
Special offer for the Adam Carolla Show audience. 20% off your first Caldera Lab purchase of the good. Go to calderalab.com/Adam. That's CalderaLab.com. Or use discount code Adam at checkout.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with Gina and the news right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning. Renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Break. Viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Big news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, here's a name we hadn't heard in a little while, so let's get an update on him. Harvey Weinstein will be extradited from New York to L.A. to stand trial on multiple sexual assault charges after a judge denied a petition from Weinstein's defense team to keep him where he is. They've added that Weinstein could even stand trial in L.A. virtually, but the judge didn't go for that. The disgraced movie mogul, who is already serving a 23-year sentence in New York for rape and sexual assault, faces 11 counts in California, including rape and sexual battery, involving five incidents that allegedly took place between 2004 and 2013. If convicted, he faces up to 140 years behind bars.
140 additional years?
Yeah, because regardless of how
he's got to finish out the...
Regardless of California, yeah. The former producer still has to return to New York to serve his 23 years.
First off, we've been doing everything virtually for the last 18 months.
Oh, they hate this guy.
Why not virtually do it? I think the DA is doing a little grandstanding, but also... How much does it cost to extract a guy from his New York cell, fly him here, put him up here, right, and do this?
As opposed to Skype?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Well, first things, I've told you, Garagos is like, this is kind of grandstanding by the Los Angeles DA. He's in prison. He's going to die in
prison. Gascon? Because wasn't this a Jackie Lacey thing?
I don't think it's Gascon for some reason, but maybe it is. But either way, he's just going to die in prison, right, in New York. But yeah, Skype him in.
Yeah. Nope.
Nope.
Nope. No,
can't do.
Cannot do. John Stewart, he, after 15 months...
you know what? There's not enough prison breaks.
You'd like more?
Well, I've seen enough movies where the van pulls up next to the sheriff's van on the lonely highway, sure, and the guys rappel down, and he's got enough friends, enough money in the bank. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Remind me to bring this up, Max Zapata, with Garagos, because I'm going to talk to him in an hour. But
where are the prison breaks?
No, okay. But I could bring that up. I said to him 2 years ago. I said, I feel like Weinstein should go find a place without an extradition treaty,
right,
and fucking gas up his Learjet and go now.
You did say that.
And he's like, you don't do that. You know, maybe he has to say that in a microphone. But I'm like, he's got all the money in the world. He can get out of here. He can go somewhere. He's going to have to stay there.
Right. Staring down the barrel, some pretty compelling evidence.
But this doesn't go right. Yeah. He's going to die in prison.
Right.
I bet he'd rather be on some island that we've never heard of than in Rikers.
But we talked about that. Remember, like with Cosby, I think the answer we all came up with was narcissists don't believe that the chips are ever going to fall against them. So what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I'll bet you if you got into his prison cell and were able to have this conversation with him, he probably wishes he went Roman Polanski.
Absolutely.
Because I don't, and I, for some reason, don't know if we could do it in France. I think I was talking to Garagos about it. Either way, look, he's smart. He had money. He had time. He should have fucking hopped on something and got the fuck out of Denver.
Yeah.
And he did not.
Correct. So 15 months after Colbert left the Ed Sullivan Theater and started hosting the Late Show from home, he made his return to the studio Monday night with a fully vaccinated audience in their seats and his old friend Jon Stewart as a guest. That's not the headline. The headline is John's take on how the coronavirus came to be this pandemic that we all know today. He wanted to make it known that he never bought this whole wet market theory. It goes on for a while. This is about a minute clip of what shouldn't feel like a bombshell, I guess, is to some people. Here we go.
I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has in many ways helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science. So, and that's kind of...
Hold on one second.
No. Listen.
I wouldn't do that to you. What do you mean? But do you mean like there's a chance that this was created in a lab? There's an investigation.
A chance?
Well, there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's
a
novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask those scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle.
And it goes on from there.
Yeah. Was I talking on this show about my lab leak theory in Texas?
Mm-mm.
Was I talking about that on this show?
I remember that.
Well, so here's a thought experiment. So this is all, first things first, it's always kind of been the lab. I mean, it's pretty apparent. At least it's a coin toss.
Right.
I mean,
Occam's razor.
Right.
It's Occam's razor. It's the most logical thing.
Simplest answer.
Now they have footage of bats in the actual lab. There's physical.
Oh, so it's both.
Yeah, why can't it be both?
Yeah, well, they took the bats and they brought them into the lab and they extracted the whatever and they worked on the virus and then the virus escaped. I mean, that's about as straightforward. There's new footage of bats from the archival stuff being worked on in the lab. But what I'm saying is it's an election year. Trump said it's a Wuhan thing, came from the lab, and everyone, fuck you, you're nuts, you lie about everything. It's got to be from a pangolin. But they didn't really do the due diligence on the pangolin thing. They just said, Trump said it came from a lab, couldn't have come from a lab, we don't like him, fuck that. But I was thinking about the press, and I started to think about this. Forget about, and then there was the whole overtones. There's always the racial overtones and the part where you don't want to accuse this group or this this nationality and whatever it is. What if, I'm just looking at the press's reaction to this from a year ago. They're all like, these are debunked theories. These people are nuts. They need tinfoil hats. These lab people, this is insane. It always sounded insanely plausible to me. Like, it's the exact same thing Jon Stewart said. It came from the lab. Certainly plausible that worked on the same stuff that was infecting everyone. I said, here's a thought experiment. What would our press do if this was a U.S. military lab that was in Waco, Texas? And we said, and they worked on viruses of this type.
Okay.
And somebody said, maybe it came from the U.S. military lab that's in Waco, Texas, and there was an outbreak in Waco.
It was
out of
Wuhan.
And then somebody said, that's nuts. It came from an armadillo.
Uh-huh.
Do you think the press would go, all right, we're running with the armadillo? I don't think they would. I think they'd go, wait a minute.
Yeah, a lot adds up here.
Yeah, so that's an interesting thought experiment for the press. Why did they all run with the fucking armadillo theory when you have a lab next door that is working on this stuff? Yes.
That's interesting. My only thought is, and again, it's not satisfying or good, but is it because Wuhan, China, and a bat and a pangolin, these are so exotic, we can't even wrap our heads around it. So it's like, yeah, it could have come from that. It's like a mythical creature.
I would have been... Again, I would have been fine with agnostic, which is Maybe it came from a pangolin. Maybe it came from the lab.
Right.
We got the, you're nuts for thinking it came from a lab
right.
a year ago. That's the press not doing its job.
Yeah. And now I think
Now that Jon Stewart has okayed it, now we're there.
It's back in the mix.
Yes. You have to get, you know, a Bill Maher and a Jon right. Stewart, and then they go, okay, CNN, it's okay
the
to
right
say
people.
Some from
and
the lab.
And they did, and now
right.
back
now
open.
We can go there. Yeah.
If you Google Batman and Catwoman, you're going to get a fairly shocking headline these days when most people, you know, if you're not into DC Comics, you wouldn't care about it. But a Batman and Catwoman sex scene
Whoa.
Where Batman is performing oral on Catwoman has been removed from a future DC project as the comic publishers claimed heroes don't do that. DC Comics.
I would argue heroes do go
Thank
down
you.
On women.
Gina, 100%.
Let's ask Gina. 100%.
It takes a hero.
Yeah, don't be a hero. It
takes
then.
A brave freedom fighter.
DC Comics has reportedly asked the makers of the animated series Harley Quinn to delete a moment that would have shown Batman going down on Catwoman. Co-creator Justin Halpern told Variety that DC said, "You can't do that. You absolutely cannot do that." They're like, "Heroes don't do that."
How odd.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Catwoman would appreciate it more than just a regular woman
right,
were because of all the paw licking
right,
and all the cleaning and all the pussy talk
right.
and all that. Now, she may be a little disappointed not to get the sandpaper. I don't know.
Yeah, I understand.
Does he do it with the cowl on or the cowl off?
That's a great question.
Cowl on, well, she's a squirter. Come on, bro.
So do we have that scene?
It shan't be done. Now, I think this is going to be one of those fun, like, promotional tool outrage where we get a moveon.org petition going and put the scene back in.
Could they have done it in earnest? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
did they really just go,
animated.
We're doing this history of violence style?
Ooh. I wonder if this wouldn't have... Ooh,
remember that scene?
Explicit. I do remember
yes.
that. Wasn't it with the trailer outfit?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hot.
Uncomfortable.
Hero.
Yeah, hero.
Hero Mortensen.
Mm-hmm.
Heroes do that. I wonder if they're concerned about the international market, because that would get banned in the Middle East.
It would be pixelated.
Yeah, it might get some restrictions in China.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
But to say heroes don't do that, I mean, that's bold.
Well, it's interesting because it's a little subservient for the hero, but it's also the ultimate act of sacrifice.
I never understood that. Thank you. How dare you? How dare you?
You do it during a 3-day period out of the month, you're going to fucking bronze star.
Hey, he's not the hero we need. He's the hero we deserve.
That's right.
Okay, so there is a story arc in The Sopranos where everybody finds out that Uncle Junior Soprano, goes down on his lady. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole thing that all the guys are like, you know, they all find out and they're like, oh my God, and they think it's a big deal. And they all tell their wives, don't you ever talk to anyone about what we do in this bedroom. Don't ever let them know that I ever do that to you. And I might be naive, but what am I missing? Wouldn't that make you more manly?
It's pretty gross.
How dare you?
Look, I only turned my ball cap backward for one thing. Okay? That's not to catch.
Okay. But, like, what was I missing in that storyline?
I think
it's Italian machismo.
I think
pride.
Amongst okay. the Italian yeah. machismos.
But aren't they supposed to be the best lovers, the Mediterranean? Like,
the,
I just, it's
dicks.
Not computing to me.
With
okay.
The, yeah, with the
okay.
dicks. Yeah,
Thank
I think
you.
that's a paisan machismo mafia thing. I think that was that storyline.
Those are mooks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, yes. Well, then what are you saying about Batman?
It's called, the shirt's called a wife beater, not a wife licker. Okay? Okay? Okay.
Touche.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk a lot about, and we just did, about don't apologize, don't apologize, don't apologize. I may have found an exception. When the bully who has been bullying everyone and then claims to be a victim finally goes, oh yeah, I've been kind of a shithead. So the day after Chrissy Teigen issued a lengthy apology about what a troll she's been and all her mean tweets and mean texts to Lindsay Lohan and Courtney Stodden and others, more people are coming out of the woodwork saying, she bullied me too. She almost got me to kill myself. So
Twitter's for
Chrissy Teigen, who is sort of, you know, sort of always been sort of playful on Twitter, or sort of, you know, people think she's a, you know, kind of almost an online she's folk
brassy.
Hero. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When she got a taste of her own medicine, she is now backed off completely. She issued this like 3-page apology, so I didn't print it out. You know what it said. You know, she says, I was a troll, full stop. I was immature. I'm sorry. Teen Mom alum Farrah Abraham claims to have been bullied by her in 2013. And this is something when as the kids say, I got the receipts. This young designer named Michael Costello came out saying that his career and his mental health have not recovered from the time Chrissy harassed him over a racist allegation that wasn't true. So something happened that it was either he said something racist or used the N-word, and then they claimed he stole a black designer's designs, and she, I guess, kind of terrorized this guy publicly, and he started DMing her going, Chrissy, can I talk to you? Like, this is not true. You're ruining my life. Please let me explain. Here's my phone number. Please, like, this is not true. And he has the screenshot from the DM, which I have right in front of me. He goes, you know, she goes, you're ruining my life. This did not happen. This was a Photoshop thing. Please help me. And she said, good luck with that. Good luck with that, LMAO. If that story keeps your already dead career going, and then he gives the phone number. Please call me up. Blah blah blah. I'm suffering from this more than you can imagine. So many people are attacking me over this. It's a fake story, but your comment is adding more fuel to the fire. She said, "Good. Racist people like you deserve to suffer and die. Wow. You might as well be dead. Your career is over. Just watch."
Yeah, she's really mean, and you know, speaking of punching down, I mean, yeah. Her and John Legend just have this incredible life. Just an unbelievable life of, it's not...
Majestic.
Well, it's not just the financial part. It's
the cookbooks.
You get to go, but you get to go on Geffen's yacht and hang out.
And meet with the president. You know,
it's your crew. Yeah. I mean, you just have this... You know, an incredibly privileged life. It's just an incredible life. And you're dealing with fucked out C-list actresses and designers trying to get off the ground and stuff like that. Like, people are living in apartments and maybe dealing with some addiction and, like, trying to get their shit together. Why are you kicking the shit out of these people?
Yeah. Right.
You know? And you're doing it from a mansion. Like, I'm not making it all about finances. I'm just saying, first things first, you're married to John Legend. Just fucking go to Monaco and watch him do a concert for the Queen. You know, and just
live
your life. But also, I always think about this, and I do look at it through the optics or the prism of the spouse. Mm. Like, you're John Legend.
He's kind of down, though, with it.
Yes, but it's so weird because your wife, who you live with in this palatial estate, is in a constant state of like agitation. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, she's in the bed at 2 a.m. looking at her phone going, oh, fuck this. And you're like, can we just watch Schindler's List and be in a better mood? You know what I mean? Like, can we just fucking give it a break?
Yeah.
And she must be in a constant kind of fight or flight kind of thing. She's like looking at stuff going, oh, you know, and they're probably at dinner somewhere really nice. Yeah. And she's like, oh, fuck this. Hold on. Yeah. I got to.
Yeah.
Like, why bother having money? Yeah. Why bother having privilege? Why bother having kids? Why bother having this home? Like, if that's just going to hang out in this house
and not
be present, like, just fucking
it's
chillax.
Weird. And she said, you know, this is before this. A lot of this was before I got super famous and super rich and was with John. But like, okay, so fine. So a super hot, I was going to say deal a meal, like Richard Simmons, a super hot deal or no deal girl is trolling you. Like, it still doesn't feel good.
Number 10, agree.
Right.
And also, I feel like they've been around for a while.
Yeah.
Like, she's some of these chicks she was hitting when they were like 17, and they're not that much older now. So that had to be in the window, the Legends window.
And, you know, Candace Owens actually said something interesting about that, too. The quote is something like, you know, Chrissy Teigen is apologizing for who she used to be, but she still goes after, you know, conservative women and women who don't think like she does. And She's like, I've never even said anything to her. You know, I didn't want to get in the ring with Chrissy Teigen, but she still does it. It's not who she used to be. It's who she still is. But I think the point you're making is more accurate that, you know, when you get to a certain level of fame or whatever, it's a lateral move. But stop punching down to these, you know, people just trying to get their life off the ground.
Yeah, or enjoy your, like, who's the joke on? You've been engaged. It's basically... Right. You're arguing with homeless people.
Right. You can ruffle the feathers of Chrissy Teigen.
Just fucking keep walking. Why are you getting into it?
Right. And that's why it was kind of entertaining and part of the circus when, you know, Trump was full Trump and Chrissy Teigen's on there, you know, trolling him and he's trolling her. And it's like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe this is what we're all watching. But it is different when this poor designer's like, I'm about to kill myself.
Trump,
please stop.
You're punching up at.
Right.
The designer you're punching down at. And, also, I think she's lost a ton of like endorsements and all
she has.
Her brands and her lines
cookware
and there's been things. So I don't know if her apology is I'm trying to regain some retailers or I'm just apologizing because hopefully I've just, you know, grown.
Right.
But either way, I worry about John Legend because
he's the real victim.
Yeah. Well, you're living with someone who's half-cocked all the time, just fucking agitated and pissed off. And also, it's definitely something the devil makes work for. It used to make work for idle hands. Now it makes work for idle minds.
Mm.
But you need to get up and go somewhere in the morning. And hanging around with nowhere to go and your phone in your hand the whole time.
Not great.
That's not a good experiment.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of stars, next week, Britney Spears will try to convince a judge to move her father out as the conservator. Britney has pledged that as long as Jamie Spears controls her life and finances, she's effectively retired from show business.
Mm.
Judge Brenda Penny revealed on Monday that the hearing will be conducted virtually. They can do it for Britney.
Yeah.
Britney and her lawyers won't be in the courtroom, nor will the father. They have not been on speaking terms in more than a year. And good for Britney. I mean, the only card she has to play is, fine, you want to control my money? I just won't make you any.
Mm.
I mean, what else is she supposed to do?
Yeah, I don't know. This thing is not since Israel and Palestine has a nation been more split. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I kind of...
These are dark times.
Depending on who I'm talking to, I could probably be talked into one side or the
What's
other.
What's the other side? Because I don't really know. I mean,
well,
she does not want to have a conservator. She doesn't want it to be her dad.
Oh, okay. Well... Then
see another good argument, Adam.
Yeah, all right.
She
then
was like,
get away.
From what I understand, she's like, I'll take any random clerk from the Superior Court of Los Angeles, just not him.
Mm. Got to get him with Meghan Markle's.
Got to get forced to be reckoned together. With.
Just talk about parenting. Oh, they should write a children's book,
a how-to book,
how to ruin your daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
How parenting to poison books. Your daughter. We are living in a world where those would sell.
Oh, well, 100%.
I would get that as a gag gift for all my new moms and dads.
It's a shower gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we call it the Poisoning Your Daughter series.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
Toxic Daddy.
Wait, should we write a book where it's like parenting advice, but it's like a kid's book from the perspective of bad parents?
Forward by Joey Buttafuoco.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a funny gag gift.
Yeah. I think we could get hashtag Toxic Daddy trending.
Yeah. Be nice.
Yeah. All right. So, and I guess we can file
featuring
this.
Jim Carolla.
Oh, come on.
Brian, that was below the belt.
Talking about you.
Right. I guess we can file this under out of problems. All K through 12 public schools in Florida will now hold a moment of silence at the start of the day, starting next year, according to a bill signed by Governor Ron DeSantis. According to the law, principals of each public school will require teachers in first period classrooms to set aside 1 to 2 minutes for prayer or meditation, but teachers may not suggest what kind of prayer. When asked why this bill is being passed, DeSantis said, the idea that you can just push God out of every institution and be successful, I'm sorry, our founding fathers did not believe that.
Well, you can meditate, right?
Well, that's the thing. On the one hand, I'm like, that's not a bad way to start a school day with teenagers.
I'm down with this. Like, give kids like a minute to like center themselves.
No, I think that's great. But on the other hand, this is what Floridians are paying for right now to make this a requirement.
Is it 1 minute?
1 to 2 minutes.
All right. I don't care. But you know what it is. I can guarantee you if my buddy Ray was in this class where they went 90 seconds of silence to reflect on your religion, there would be a huge fart.
Yeah.
It is perfect. It is a perfect environment.
Yeah, the perfect crime.
For a fart.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
And we're talking about Florida, so.
Yeah. When Ray farted right in Nick Bernal's class who came in here. Right. You know what's kind of fun? When the teachers they didn't know what to do with Ray.
Right.
You know, so we were taking some sort of test and it was dead silence in the class and Ray just leaned over on that flat wooden desk chair and just belted one out.
Sure.
And it was so loud.
And the acoustics in those rooms.
Yes. And poor Bernal, probably first year teaching, he didn't know what to do with Ray. He was like, Ray, just go out, go stand in the hall. So he told Ray to go stand in the hall. And then I was laughing so goddamn hard. The thing that'll get me laugh the hardest is a fart.
Sure.
Big time. I mean, as you know, when the guy farts into the PA system at Costco, that's the funniest video.
Right.
And I was laughing so insanely hard at this huge fart that Ray let out. And then Mr. Bernal had to discipline me for laughing so hard. But he didn't really know what to do with me because he couldn't send me into the hall.
Yeah, that'd
be
just
me and Ray in the hall. And he couldn't really send me to the principal because I didn't fart. I was just laughing. So he sent Ray into the hall. And then he said to me, Carolla, move your chair. Move. And he like kind of pointed me to open desks. It was like four desks over. And I remember at the time thinking, I don't know how this is punishment, but I'll get up and do something. He had to do something. The great Nick Bernal.
Poor Mr. Bernal.
Yes.
Sad day. If you think you ever had like an embarrassing moment or you were afraid that this was going to happen to you, it happened to a Tigers pitcher, Bo Burrows, over the weekend. Most people's biggest fear, and it happened to this guy. TMZ report, and I do have the video, we don't have to watch it, but TMZ reports that Burrows got so sick on the mound Saturday, he threw up twice, and then promptly got sent down to the minors afterward.
Oh, brutal.
He walked a batter, he gave up two straight hits, then walked another batter, and even though he went on to strike out the next two guys, something went wrong. Burrows tried to stay in the game, but he was pulled after his trainers and coaches came out to talk to him, check with him. Tigers sent him to AAA after the game. As for his health, the manager said he didn't seem concerned. He was nauseous. But, I mean, it's throw up. But I do have the video of him doing his best not to throw up. But there's just nothing you can do about it.
Adam, if you or I were on the mound pooping your pants, it would be way, 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 10 more ways worse than throwing up.
Oh, yeah. For anything. Yeah.
Especially if you had a high kick. Yeah, if you're working out of the stretch.
If you're Mark Fidrich.
Yeah, if you worked out of the stretch, you'd be fine.
If you're Rob Dibble.
Yeah.
Sorry, trying to go the high kick here.
Yeah,
if you're Barry Zito.
All I can, we have, sorry. I don't know. I didn't see footage of it.
The reason I watched it a couple times was because I was like, my first guess was the dude's hungover.
Yeah.
He looked so straight-laced and so worried and so clean-cut. I think he was just either nervous or had a stomach bug. I don't think he was doing anything wrong.
Why are you going to send the guy down to the minors? Either the stomach flu or he's sick.
I don't know. It was just a bad coincidence. They
probably
should have told him.
Before,
yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of Tigers... And I'll shift to Lion. Oh. I was watching the rest of my The Kings with Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran. I'm so enthralled. And that era. Here's a fucking story right out of the pages of Panama Boxing. Roberto Duran, he, in his second fight with Sugar Ray Leonard, that was a no-moss fight. He got frustrated in the eighth round and just said, fuck this. I'm not dealing with this shit anymore. Because he was getting clowned.
Right.
By Sugar Ray, and he did
his own slaughter rule.
Yeah, he didn't like being clowned in his machismo world. This guy was clowning him, and he just said, fuck this, I'm quitting. Well, when you come from Panama, the entire country's awake at 3 a.m. watching you box, standing in liquor stores and watching TV sets and bars and stuff like that. And they love you in Panama, but when you quit...
They got a lot of money riding in that.
And a lot of money. You quit. You can't go back to Panama.
No, you're disgraced.
You will be stoned to death.
Yeah.
Like you, they will kill you like they did with the soccer player.
Yeah, kicked
the ball into his own goal.
Oh, like me in kindergarten.
He wasn't in Panama.
It was the two Escobars. It was Colombia.
Yeah,
right?
Colombia. They just kill you.
Right. Seems
They're
fair.
Very advanced cult. Very advanced. So he had to wait for a while before he came back to Colombia. Mm-hmm. And
Panama.
Then, Panama, sorry. When he came back to Panama. And then he couldn't really walk down the street, but he had a lion that he raised from a cub. He had a lion that, you know, that's what you do when you get rich and you're a boxer and you're from Panama.
Animal.
You get a fucking Mike Tyson did it here. You go out and get a lion cub.
Sure.
Big cat.
And he got this lion cub. There's probably even pictures of Roberto Duran and the lion cub and the lion and stuff, but he just raised it since it was, you know, 6 months old. And so Roberto, they'd say, well, he'd go for walks, but he'd take his lion for a walk and no one would fuck with him.
Makes sense.
That's how he was able to go for walks in Panama.
By taking his lion. And he was never torn to shreds or anything by this beloved lion.
No, I don't think lions. Unconfirmed. Lions, well, maybe there's Montecore, but lions, I feel, are not like reptiles.
Or like Siberian tigers.
But I mean, the cats. What I mean is the pythons, they kill you in your sleep after 8 years of bliss. You know what I mean?
Wait a second. This is a wild animal with giant claws and teeth.
You raise them, you do a lion or a bear, like since they're cubs, they're cool. But like, again,
I'd love to test this.
Caimans don't work that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like reptiles don't give a fuck who you are. It's just what kind of mood they're in that day.
Short memory.
But I think the lion seemed, you got that? Well, we just showed a picture of it.
Now I'm interested.
It's Roberto. Roberto like wrestling with his huge lion.
Oh, now I'm jealous, even though we're not supposed to do this.
I know.
Look at that.
There's a whole bunch of pictures with him with a big old fucking lion.
Where are they keeping this poor thing?
Just
in his backyard?
That's like down the street from the fucking DMV.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know a lot about Panama, but if you have a couple extra bucks, you can kind of do what you want.
Oh,
interesting.
Shit.
This is not like a sanctuary.
You know, people talk a lot of shit about these third world places, like how bad it is to be poor. You have to eat off the dumpster.
Yeah.
But super awesome to be rich.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'll never get a DUI in your entire fucking career.
One-eyed man that can land the blind.
Absolutely. Will you put that picture back up? Look at the chain on this animal.
Yeah. You got to keep a chain on a lion.
Oh, God.
Because the lamp cord doesn't work. They chew right through that
works
shit.
Works less well.
Yeah, so I don't know. When did Roberto Duran's lion die?
And that up, Chris.
He must have had a name, too. Probably something good.
Oh, the name is Walla.
Walla.
Yeah, W-A-L-L-A.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know when Walla died. I'm still looking.
I don't know if they make it for 40 years. I don't know what a lion's shelf life is, but he had him, you know, since the lion was a cub.
Well, if a domestic cat tops out at 20, and this is a giant cat, I would say maybe 16 or something, because it's giant.
I get the feeling like they live longer.
It's got to live longer.
That's my feeling, but I don't know. 30, 40?
The government forced him to put Walla in a zoo.
Oh,
poor.
That's not the Panama I know.
Yeah.
When did they do that?
Unclear. That it happened.
When did Walla die?
Well, it's probably after the no moss fight.
When did they do that?
Honeymoon's over. Yeah. How long do lions live on average? I'll let
in
you figure
wild.
That out. Yeah, in the wild. All right, or in a zoo. I don't know, because this wasn't
captivity
in the wild.
Would be,
All right, what do you bring it home?
15 years, Gina. 30 years in captivity.
15 or 30?
Sorry, 15 years wild. However, in captivity can be as long as 30.
Wow. Because they don't get eaten.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Heroes don't do that.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
There is J.B. Weld. J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond. Pros have trusted it for over 50 years. But why hire a pro when you can look like a pro using J.B. Weld? We're proud to have J.B. Weld Epoxy Adhesive as our sponsor. I personally know the owner. Hung out with these guys in Vegas. Good dudes. Great product. So come on board, man. DIY projects, auto, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more. Use on a metal, wood, plastic, glass, ceramics, and use it in your kitchen or your garage. I use it to fix Sonny's tennis shoe a while back. I have different products for different things. You wouldn't use the epoxy to fix the tennis shoe, but they have a million products. J.B. Weld acquired Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered. Right, Dawson?
J.B. Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, J.B. Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the UFC Hall of Famer, George St. Pierre, right after this.